Alright, welcome back to the Survival and Basic Badass Podcast, Kevin and Chuck. Well, today, as the title suggests, we're going to talk about being prepared if the power went out, maybe for good or for a long time, something like that. And if you guys remember back a little while ago, we did an episode where, all right, the world just ended right now, you know, an EMP or something. And how do you get home? Your get home bag, you know, you ran out of gas, whatever. This is kind of the same approach, but I really want to focus on your house. How prepared are you if all your resources went away today? And by that, I mean like external, right? You can't go to the grocery store. You probably don't have long-term electricity. Maybe you have electricity for short till people stop showing up to work at the power plant. And then things kind of slowly die away. It doesn't have to be an EMP or whatever. Just, we'll say the bottom drops out of the dollar and grocery stores are closing down because nobody has money to buy anything. They can't restock things. Whatever it is, whatever world presents where the grocery stores and your normal supply of everything goes away, how prepared are you and how can you get prepared? That's really the focus of what I want to talk about today. Now, Kevin, I mean, like, what kind of things could even cause this kind of disaster? I mean, hell, China could invade tomorrow, right? I don't know.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's been a lot of talk about cyber terrorism. Yep. And there's a lot of rumors, and I don't know how true they are, but there's a lot of rumors that China's been working on backdoors to power systems. We all know that there's a couple years ago, there was a major shutdown shortage of fuel, right? Because cyber terrorism, they wanted a certain amount of millions of dollars in Bitcoin from some company about, you know, to turn their oil back on. There's been some major drone attacks on Russian oil fields and Russian refineries. You know, there's a million and one reasons why the power can go out. Solar flares, you know, all sorts of nasty stuff out there. And, you know, we have a pretty robust electrical grid in the United States, but that doesn't mean that, you know, there have been major power outages in the past 10 or 15 years in different locations in the United States. There's the big one on the East Coast for about 3 days. Everybody was out of power. There's a big one in Texas, a couple of them in Texas, right? And then, you know, there's the day-to-day stuff. You know, thunderstorms knocking out power to like isolated areas, you know? I lose power probably at my house 2 to 3 times a year. And it's usually, you know, it's usually a couple hours, but, you know, sometimes it goes a day and a half. And, you know, day and a half isn't that bad of a that big of a deal, you know, unless it's 5 degrees outside, then, you know, you could really be in a dangerous situation. Nobody wants to spend 2 days sitting in their car, you know, with the heat on trying to survive. That's, you know, terrible. You know, you have to hang out with your family and like talk to them. Ooh,
that does sound horrible. Mm-hmm. Well, remember a couple of years back when Puerto Rico got kind of almost wiped off the map there, if it wasn't for everybody stepping in, you know, that was devastating. Mm-hmm. Civil war, right? Civil war. I wouldn't have mentioned that except apparently YouTube was like plastered last night with, is civil war starting right now in Texas?
Right.
You know, it's this nonstop Biden on the hunt there.
Yeah. It's been a little bit, I think it's a little overblown. Everybody likes to get amped up about
definitely civil war all like the time, but yeah. Clickbait kind of stuff, no doubt. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And that's not where I would focus. I don't really think that's going to. But man, I will say the balls of some politicians to want to jump in and, you know, assert their authority.
Right.
I think a lot of that is pride. You know, it's pride that how dare you cross me? You know, it's kind of like we keep seeing the politicians. They'll come in
and they'll completely undo what the last president did. Just like, even if it was a good idea, but you did it, so I'm going to overturn that.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
It's just stupid how we do things. We're so childish. You know, oh, you built a wall. Well, I'm going to pay money to take that wall down. Wait, that's stupid. Like, I can understand, hey, we're not going to keep spending money on that. I have a better approach.
Right.
I get that. But not, let me undo it, because that was just, you know, it's just stupid. And, yeah. And Republicans do the same thing, you know, with, it's so dumb.
Yeah, I mean, you might talk about a Democrat right now, but I mean, the truth is it goes both ways. There's idiocy on all sides, so... I mean, you know,
yeah,
I agree with you 100%. This whole damn country's run by a bunch of fools.
Oh, dude, you're preaching to the choir. All right, let's jump into some of the meat within the nut and see what we could talk about here. So I think let's start off with kind of the obvious. All right. I mean, there's the hierarchy of survival, they say. You know, there's the different things. You need food, you need water, you need shelter. Now, shelter is also heat and cooling and whatever is going to protect you, proper clothing, you know, whatever. We're going to talk about security, and I'm going to expand security to talk about like the perimeter of our house and how we'd kind of work on that as well. So let's jump in with food, right? That seems like a big one. Water, we're going to get to too. Obviously, water is probably number one in importance. But let's talk about food.
Well, yeah. First off, I'd say that you should have a couple of months worth of food in your house ready to go. This is a prepper show. Being prepared, that's number one. Get some rice. Get some beans. You know, I'm going to be eating beans and if the power goes out, I'll be eating beans and rice for months. It's going to be terrible, but I've got plenty of hot sauce stored up. You can change things up.
You're good for hot sauce. Yeah. Well, that's it. Yeah. I mean, it's squirrel with hot sauce. It's rat with hot sauce, possum with hot sauce.
Yeah.
And shrimp. And then you can have fried shrimp. you get the idea, right?
Right. Right. So, another good thing as far as food storage goes that we haven't talked about in a little while is root cellars.
Yes.
Now, a root cellar can be just about anything. It really, you want it to be surrounded on three sides with earth. You know what I mean? It keeps that temperature,
the right
area. You know, and during the winter, my basement actually is excellent root cellar. I keep a lot of vegetables down here. And, they last just as long as they would last in the refrigerator, especially things like potatoes and onions. You can stick them down here and they're, you know, they're good for a long time. Cabbage, other hearty vegetables, carrots, things like that. Root cellar is pretty easy to put together, and I think you know, you can go on YouTube or look at one of our previous episodes on root cellars.
Yeah.
But another big thing aside of storing your food is growing your food, right? Vegetable gardens. Got a pretty significant vegetable garden. Everybody should have a little vegetable garden. Doesn't have to be huge, but a little something or other, so you know what you're doing.
Yeah. Well, one of the things I think people don't consider is like, so in my situation, I have rabbits and chickens. And at this point, a lot of the feed for my rabbits and chickens comes from the tractor supply or whatever, right?
Right.
With the local feed store, you know, but I actually do use the local feed store for, you know, a big percentage of what I feed them as well. And you need to come up with an alternative for that. If you can't go buy a 50-pound sack. Now, at a minimum, right, I have 20 rabbits out back that's 20 meals for my family right there.
Right.
That one, I don't need to keep refrigerated. And I have enough feed at any given time, we'll say, to go 20 days, right? Or I could smoke that meat or do something else to preserve it where – right away, even if I didn't have a constant source of feed, obviously the goal is to keep feeding them and to keep them reproducing and going on indefinitely, right? That makes sense. But even at a minimum, if that didn't work out, I have 50 meals I don't have to keep refrigerated.
Right.
So that's huge right there. Same thing for the chickens, right? I have 35 meals right there that, and yes, I have enough stuff to keep them alive for 35 days on hand. That's not, mm-hmm. I mean, honestly, just eating off the ground, you know, or putting the rabbits in a chicken tractor or a rabbit tractor, whatever you'd call it, right? Mm-hmm. You'd be able to keep that going and sustain that. But all right, so you have that. So you have those animals, but you want to think about things you could be growing. And I know, like with the rabbits, one of the big things is kind of like these microgreens. I think it's barley that they do for the rabbits. We bought a bunch of seed and whatever. We're starting to implement that, but where you're actually turning over trays of food that you can go. I have books on harvesting, you know, feeding your rabbits naturally, that, you know, all the different things I can go out and grab and throw in the cages and keep them going. Mm-hmm. These are things you want to consider for whatever livestock you have. Right.
Right.
And you know, hey, all right, how can I fence the chickens and move them around and get them to places if they're not free range, right? Mm-hmm. If they're free range, obviously it's a lot easier to figure out a feed source for them.
Right, right. And you know, that is a big difference between like a factory farm and you grow, you know, raising your own chickens. You know, you can free range them and save quite a bit of money on feed. Yes. And maybe you can't do it entirely with your property, right, and where you're at. But you can supplement quite a bit of food just by letting them free range. You know, they love, right, bugs. And, you know, every time I go over to the compost bin, they all come running over there because they know I'm going to throw a couple of worms out for them, you know.
Yeah.
Walk around, turn over rocks. They'll just follow you around picking everything out of there.
And but, that's another thing. If you're doing it right, can you harvest worms for your, you know, for your chickens, right? You know, people, mm-hmm, do those worm bins. You can really turn over some volume. Now, obviously, you're not going to feed 35 chickens with a worm bin, you know, on, right, that alone, right? You have to, mm-hmm, have another plan, but that's another protein supplement that you can work in there and really, you know, help things out. So with that, now I also, you know, I got heavy into animals right there. You know, Kevin mentioned a big garden and having a setup like that. Now there is the long-term survival food. I'm sure I can probably find an affiliate link to throw in the bottom, maybe a good deal for you. I don't know. I think I used to work with My Patriot Supply a lot. I don't know. I don't know who's good. I like Wise Food, seems interesting to me. I know they had trouble. You can put in the comments that you hate somebody and whatever, that's fine too. Even if you have an affiliate link you want to throw in the comments for somebody, I'm good with that. But the bottom line is stuff like that ends up being rather expensive, especially now, where when you buy that survival food from one of these companies. Mm. Stuff's good. When you see a good sale, I would buy some because it's something you can set aside and forget it, which is awesome.
Right.
I know the Amish have that store, or sorry, the Latter-day Saints have that store online that you can buy a lot of their prepper food that was it Agassiz and Farms or whatever. Maybe that's, I don't know.
I'm not
There's
sure
a bunch of different
is,
things.
I know, yeah, what you're talking about.
Right. But you can search it out. Right. I know there's that Azure Standard. They're pretty cool. They basically sell stuff in bulk. I'll try and get some links to throw in the comments or notes for you guys for that stuff. But that's one way. But also just having a bulky, beefy pantry where you're cycling through your food, you know, you're,
right,
rotating your stores. A lot of stuff. One of the big ones, Walmart sells the giant bags of like pancake mix. Well, that's huge calorie that you can,
right,
add.
Yep.
Buying,
and if you have chickens, you can throw the eggs in with the pancakes and you're set. I mean, you can get instant pancake mix as,
right,
well.
It doesn't, you know, require anything, but, mm-hmm, you can also beef up the protein with something like,
right,
that. If you're down for corn syrup, crappy syrup, you can buy that in bulk really pretty cheap at like Sam's Club or Costco or whatever, mm-hmm, right? That stuff works really well. But you can also rice, right? Think of bulk rice. I used, mm-hmm, to be big on bulk beans. That stuff isn't as cheap anymore. Bulk beans, you're kind of paying anymore for those dried beans and stuff. So, mm-hmm, I don't know. You got to look around and find the things that your family likes. That,
yeah, what are you going to actually
kind of shelf
not
stable
hate eating every,
right,
day? Yeah,
that's going to last. One of the big things that work. I mean, cornmeal. One of my kids is gluten, you know, has to be gluten free, right? So because of that, we do a lot of the corn, you know, it is cornmeal, I guess.
Yeah, cornmeal.
And, and so buying large bags of that and being able to stockpile. But I also, one of the things I got from Mayhem Country Living was if you freeze the rice or you freeze the flour, that kind of stuff, it kills any of the bugs and stuff that might be in the package. I know we all like to think, right, oh, there's no bugs or eggs in any of the stuff we buy. But yeah, we'll just say it might be better if you freeze it first. Now, yeah, the idea was
freeze it and then, yeah, right, let it freeze and then take it out and store it, right, like you would normally store
it. If you give it 2 or 3 days, you know, whatever you feel makes it frozen all the way through where that temperature is there, and then store it in 5-gallon buckets and, you know, close it up. Now, I have room in my freezer, unless it's deer season or whatever, where I'll just put the stuff in there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll just leave the flour or the rice in there. It's a secure space. I don't have to worry about rodents. And I know it's going to last.
Yeah.
But then when I pull pasta, it out.
Yeah, yeah, pasta and like ramen stuff. That's the same thing, you know?
Right. So anyway, bottom line is, we did an episode, if you really want to dig into what specific foods are great for storage, you can head back to that one. I'll see if actually I put that at the end of this video as the, you know, hey, go back and check that out. I don't know if we did a video on it. It might just be a podcast. I'll see if I can throw the link in the show notes to the episode and you guys will be able to check that out. But that's another thing to consider. But so let's keep moving right along. Water. What could we do with water, Kevin, that you're going to need water, right? That's foundational life, right? So what mm-hmm. do we do to have water in our house when the power goes out? What are some things we need right now?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, one, if you have a water source on your property, that is a big deal. You know, if you've got a stream, a pond, something like that, you know, not everybody has that. I'm in a pretty good location here that I've got, you know, a little stream in the back and I've got a, you know, a low water table, meaning that I could really dig down about 4 or 5 feet and start getting some water out of that. But that water isn't going to be necessarily safe, right? So you're going to have to think about ways that you can purify your water. Another way to get water, if you don't have it on your property necessarily, is rainwater catch basins, collecting your rainwater. You know, you can just set up, you know, I have 55-gallon drums, but you can set up even a 5-gallon bucket on your rain spout, out your drain spout on your, from your gutters, from your roof, and collect some of that water. Cleaning that water might be a little bit difficult. So,
right.
What I would recommend is basic setup would be set up a teepee with 3 shirts hanging down in a tier. You know, first one is gravel, gets all the sticks and gunk out of there. Next one is sand, and the bottom one is charcoal from your fire pit, from your fireplace, right, from wood stove, whatever it is. The first few runs through with the water, it's going to come out black from that charcoal. So you just discard that water, run it back through. And, but after that, it's going to really clean out that water. It's not necessarily going to be perfectly safe, but it's going to be a lot better than just grabbing something out of a pond, you know?
Right.
Another way is, iodine. You can use a small amount of iodine for that, small amount of bleach, but both those things are going to take some time. You're going to want to let that set and do its thing for 30 minutes or so.
Believe it or not, Clorox on their website actually tells you how to treat your water with their bleach. And mm-hmm. they tell you amounts per gallon and how much to do and based on where you get the water from, you know, that kind of thing.
Right.
Obviously, Clorox kills bad things in there, but it does not remove toxins.
Right.
So that's where that filtering comes in. That's a big thing. One of the ways I prepare for that is I have wells on my property, so it's kind of irrelevant. One is a shallow well where I can just like lift the lid and drop down a bucket and pull out water. So I'm kind of good there. But in addition to that, believe it or not, I still have, I went to Sam's Club and they have like 6 things of Clorox, but it's like 30 times concentrated or something like that.
Right.
So I threw those, I left them in the cardboard box, and I have them in like a dark closet that just sit there. Now, obviously that plastic's going to deteriorate over time. You know, obviously we know that bleach exposed to sunlight deteriorates quickly. That's why I was saying I keep it in a really dark place. It mm-hmm. still is going to have a shelf life.
Right.
But it's going to be better than, you know, something else. So that's something to consider.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Basically, bleach is going to be good if you store it in a dark place for 6 months plus, and then it's going to start to be less and less effective. But obviously, it's going to last for a long time. It's going to last for a year where you can still use it. You might just have to use a little bit more.
Right.
Let's see. Other stuff is like there's a lot of water filters you can get, you can buy, Life straws and multiple different water filters that you can get just to scoop water up and immediately be able to drink it. Those things are great, but on a large scale, they might be a little less effective, and they get more and more expensive as you go up to something that you're going to be able to use over and over.
Over again. And over, right, exactly. Right. Ketadyne, there's a bunch of companies that do it, and that's the thing. Those things, I mean, even if, all right, I got one that's going to last me maybe 6 months, and then all of a sudden, hey, you got a good water supply. Are all your neighbors hitting you up, you know, whatever you, mm-hmm. you need to think bigger on how you're going to get good water. There is a lot of videos on YouTube on doing a hand pump well and how to work that out, how to, you know, dig your own and dowsing rods and the whole mm-hmm. thing. Yeah. And, you know, look around your community. You know, sometimes people have water sources available that they don't even realize. Mm-hmm. That's something to consider, you know? It's funny.
The old standard of boiling water. We never really mentioned that because it should be common sense, but you know, common sense isn't not, always
right.
common. Yeah.
And if we stop mentioning it, not yeah. so common, right?
Yeah. If you want to boil water, that's great. It's a little bit, you know, if you have a heat source, then, you know, it's not a big problem. And you want it to just do a rolling boil for about 5 minutes and then it's safe to drink.
Yeah. Now that's all stuff to consider. You know, it's funny. My brother has had a restaurant in the middle of town, and it actually had a well right in the basement. And it's weird because you wouldn't think in the middle of a city that you got a well right there, you know, and it was like a big open well. You could just drop a bucket in and pull out water. Mm-hmm. So that's the kind of thing, you know, there might be some sources that you don't even realize. And you might want to look into what's available in your area, talk to people. You know, usually the old timers know some stuff that, you know, I thought that old people didn't have any purpose anymore.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Whatever, but sometimes they know things. All right. So moving right along. Now, security. How do you protect your family? Oh, and food, there was I was going to mention, you know, you might want to add your, like, prescriptions, things like that. Don't forget about, you know, stuff you need, food, stuff like that, for as far as, you know, you're mm-hmm. I don't know, you get heartburn, you have diabetes, yeah, you have whatever, make sure you yeah. have the appropriate things mm-hmm. as best you can. Obviously yeah. insulin has to be kept cold, maybe another reason to think about a root cellar or whatever, because I understand it's not as cold as your refrigerator and it's not going to be as great, but it's going to buy you more time than keeping insulin warm. That's all mm-hmm. I can tell you.
Right. Right. You know, multivitamins, all that sort of stuff is always great to have on hand, especially if your food is limited to a specific, you know, I only have rice, I only have potatoes, something like that. Having multivitamins around is can be a big help. Real quick, before we get on into the next thing, having a power outage bag. A lot of people lose power and they can't do anything. It's the middle of the night and they can't do anything until they find a flashlight, you know?
Yes.
If you have your stuff in one spot, it's easy to do. So have a power outage bag, batteries, lighters, matches, flashlights, rechargeable flashlights, headlamps, candles. Beeswax candles burn longer and they're better. They're a little bit more expensive though. Hand crank radio. I have a hand crank radio. I've never used it.
Right.
You know, go ahead, get one. They're cheap. They're not a big deal, but First aid kit should be right there in your bag too. You know what I mean? Just bandage, just something to, you know, everybody stubs their toe in the dark and you're hopping around crying about it. And now you can put a little splint on your pinky toe and you'll be all right.
Exactly. The big thing is knowing where the stuff is and keeping it in working order. How often, right. You know, if your flashlight's right next to the door and you're using it all the time, or I actually have, you know, we're kind of homestead farm lifestyle, right? So at the back of my door, I have like four headlamps just hanging that are grabbed probably at a minimum once a week. Somebody's throwing one on. Right. So those, it's not as big of a thing. But if you're the guy who's got them, well, we have these right here, but I keep them in the drawer because we never go outside at night and it's never an issue. And with those, make sure you're checking the batteries. Make sure you're opening them up and replacing them every 4 months, 6 months, at least looking at them and see if they're still good. They definitely, you know, have that power out bag where it's small, it's got everything, and you're just ready to go. I know with my kids, I actually gave them all a flashlight and was like, here, you know, 1 year for Christmas, they all hated me or whatever, because that's the crappy gift or whatever. Mm-hmm. But hey, in your stocking, you all got, now it's funny because they were like LED or mag lights, right? Which are like outdated and crap compared to what you get now. You know, all the lights now like light up a room and you put a mag light next to it. You're like, I can't even see. It's horrible, you know, but that's what I did. And same thing, like everybody's got those like Energizer, you know, that you get at the Lowe's checkout or whatever. I think I bought them from Amazon in like a pack of three or whatever. And I bought a couple. But having those lights and that kind of stuff available is awesome. Think of the other things you need day to day in your house, right? Like, so Kevin just mentioned flashlights and a power out bag. Do you have matches? Do you have the normal stuff that you need? Now, what about washing and doing laundry? Do you watch on YouTube? You can figure out something with a 5 gallon bucket and how to kind of work out washing clothes and things. Come up with an alternative. Now, maybe that awesome alternative is setting up a solar system and having chargers that are, having a charge controller and stuff that you keep in EMP stuff, and you know it's going to last forever. Maybe that's your answer, but maybe it's as simple as going on YouTube and figuring out with a 5 gallon bucket and a cutout lid that has holes drilled in it that you can kind of work out something to wash your clothes, you know. Even buying an old washboard and having running water, just realize how much water that takes. If you're kind of trying to have running water to do something, you know, what you're doing for laundry, make sure that it's worth it for you. That's all.
Right. Right. Another thing that we should talk about real quick, that's, you know, short term is keeping your phone charged. Now you can get solar chargers, about $30. You just stick it in the sun. You can, it'll charge up the battery and then you can charge up your phone with it. You can charge your battery packs. Those are great to have. I've got a couple of those things. Switch your phone to low power mode. It'll reduce the brightness of light, but it'll last a lot longer. Yeah. And you could even plug in your phone to your TV or your laptop. If the power goes out, that TV's still got some battery power. You use the USB cord. Your computer is not going to be really great because there's not going to be any internet service, but you can charge your phone up and use the cell signal for your internet access and keep on top of what's going on around you.
That's smart, because a lot of people don't realize, you know, they'll die with resources right there available to them. You know, people dying of thirst, but they don't look at the water in the toilet tank right behind them that's still clean. And, you know, I'm talking about the tank behind it, not the bowl on the bottom. That's a little
That's for the dogs to drink, not for people.
You stick to the back. But the same thing, like a water heater, right? It's got 50 gallons of water or 30 or whatever. I know in New York, you guys are probably down to like 10-gallon water heaters over there where I don't know. I know you got some kind of ridiculous rule. But that's the thing. There's stuff stored. And that's, you know, I know one of our listeners sent me pictures a long time ago that of a storage system that he set up in his house. And what he did was he had 55-gallon drums, I think at least two of them, where he had his main water supply flow into a drum, into another drum. And then, you know, and I think, you know, like it fed in at the top and drew out at the bottom, something like that, into the next one. And likewise, but that way he's cycling through his water all the time, but he always has 110 fresh gallons of water that are stored right there. I mean, that's the kind of thing you can, you know, start to implement to cover the downside. You know, these are the things you need to think about, what you do every day. You know, how are you going to cook? Having a cooking plan for your house when the power is out. You know, all right, you got a propane tank and you have a gas stove and gas burners. That's a big part of a plan. And if you had that propane tank for your heat as well, that's probably going to last a really long time. maybe it's using your grill out back. How long is that burner going to last you? And most of the time, I mean, I know Kevin stores a couple extra propane cans and it's going to last. I have two at my house at any given time. I know Kevin's got a little better supply than that, but you know, that's the thing.
I've got a problem. I've got a problem with too many propane tanks.
Right. But Kevin's like probably not filled them in 5 years because they're still working through.
He's still working through them. Yeah.
You know, that's how it is. But you plan ahead and you come up with a solution. You need to decide what's important to you. Now, I live in the middle of the woods and I have unlimited lumber. I have oak trees all over my yard and I don't even have to try and get oak wood. I can just walk out in my yard any given day and find some giant branch of, you know, oak that I can cut up. Now, I did buy some things to split it into small pieces and make, you know, excellent, you know, fire starting stuff and great size wood. I have an axe. I have, you know, chainsaws and things like that. Now, obviously chainsaws don't last forever. You run out of gas, you whatever, but I have a bunch of extra blades. And I got to say a gallon of gas goes a long way in a chainsaw. That's the thing. People are like, oh, I want to run my four wheeler. I want to run my truck, man. If you kept that 2 gallons for your chainsaw, the unlimited work you could do, especially if you knew how to sharpen your chains, is
and when you mix that chainsaw, when you mix that gas with the oil, it'll last a lot longer than regular gas will.
Yeah. Especially if you buy the synthetic for the chainsaw oil, you know, for the mix. You know, I always kind of have a gallon of the bar and chain, and I buy like the 6-pack of the synthetic, you know, oil fuel mix, whatever. But that. These are the things to think about. I'm not trying to cover every possible thing. I mean, I am trying to, but I'm not going to. I'm not going to be able to. But what I'm trying to do is inspire you to think of what issues come up and what kind of preparing you can do for the immediate. You know, what can I have on hand? And so many people get overwhelmed. They're like, oh, I can't do all this. No, but hopefully when we have a discussion like this, you're going to realize, hey, I fall short in this area. You know what? That's one thing I didn't consider. How am I going to make my coffee, right? Well, I have the old kettle, but I have beans and no grinder. Well, yeah, you can chop them up and whatever, but you need to think about where are you going to fall short? How much coffee do you have? Can you live without coffee? I mean, some of you can, maybe. I don't know. How about beer, right? Are you going to run out of beer? I mean, what kind of world do you live in? Do you stockpile alcohol? Maybe you don't need alcohol because you live a better life than that, and you're not beholden to chemicals and whatever. I don't know if we call alcohol a chemical, but you know what I mean. How about vices?
Yeah. Well, I mean, honestly.
I mean, maybe – you know, it is worth people smoke crack. You need to store that, whatever.
You gotta have some crack. You have to have, you know, and sometimes it's better to store the baking soda and the cocaine, you know, next to each other. Now, that way you can whip up a batch.
I have to point out that was a joke, that I was not Kevin, we weren't serious about stockpiling crack.
But
that was a joke. I just wanted people to think outside the box of what's important to them.
Yeah. No, but somebody did mention 15-year-old scotch. The thing is with whiskey and scotch, you can put it on a shelf. It'll last forever. It goes forever. You know what I mean? Even if you open up and take a couple of sips here and there, it's still going to be good the next time you go over there.
And the beauty is it's an excellent barter item.
It is. It is. Everybody loves a little bit of whiskey, especially when the TV's not working and, you know. Now, let's talk about home heating real quick.
Oh, I like that one. That's important.
I mean, it gets cold. A lot of people live up north here, and the cold can really, you know, really be nasty if you don't have a way to keep yourself warm. So let's go through some basic stuff. A lot of people have electric heat, baseboard heating. You know, that's fine. It's a little bit expensive, but obviously electricity stops working, you're out of luck. A lot of people have oil burning furnace. That's good, but a lot of the time it takes electric to get started. So let's talk about a couple of other options. Kerosene heater. One of the most fuel efficient heaters to have. It's 135,000 BTUs per gallon, which is the most efficient way to heat. It's easy to start. Kerosene's non-explosive and it's clean burning. So that's right. That's pretty good option.
Here's the thing. You go to the store and they sell that K1 kerosene, right? It's nice and clean. It's good. That stuff is expensive as hell if you're going to Lowe's or whatever.
I saw $49.99 for a 5-gallon bucket. That's brutal, which is right? Ridiculous.
So you can go to you can find a gas station. Not every gas station sells kerosene. Mm-hmm. Now you can go to a gas station and buy kerosene. Guess what? If you read the label, almost every time that is K1 kerosene. It's the same stuff you're buying at Lowe's on the shelf. Now, people will tell you, oh, you can buy diesel and it's the same thing. It's not the same thing. Diesel will burn and work in your heater, but it will also give off a little black smoke. And if you have white ceilings in your living room, they will not be white anymore.
That's right.
I'm just saying. And you'll kind of mess up how it lights, how it burns, how everything. So bottom line, if say the end of the world, right? And you're trying to prepare, you buy that awesome kerosene heater. You have that 250-gallon oil tank that you've been running your furnace with. Every bit of that you can use in your kerosene heater. It will work. However, it will put off some smoke. So if you're planning on not having dingy black ceilings, don't do that. But when the end of the world happens and you're like, hey, I got to stay warm, that's your answer right there.
That will work, right.
But you 100%. Can buy the K1 kerosene. And you're supposed to put that in blue is kerosene blue and yellow is kerosene. Diesel. Yeah. Yep,
right. You got it right.
See? Yep. Secret of the pros right there. Mm-hmm.
Now there's propane heaters. Propane heaters too. Affordable, safe, more efficient than electric. As we all know, Hank Hill says, I provide the people of this community with propane and propane accessories. Oh, when I think about all my hard-earned tax dollars going to pay a bunch of little twig boy bureaucrats like you, it just makes me want to, ooh, God, that's the quote.
I like
Hank Hill always knows. He always knows best. But number one, heating your house and keeping things good is a wood stove. Potbelly wood stove, any kind of wood stove. Great for heating your home.
Yeah.
You can access that fuel yourself. You don't have to go, get anything. You can just go out into the woods and take some branches like you were talking about, Chuck. You can split wood. You can get it yourself, make it yourself, dry it yourself. You don't have to rely on anybody else supplying you anything. And, it's versatile because you can cook on top of it. You can, use it to, do a lot of stuff there. I know a lot of people that, I know one lady that actually makes beef jerky on top of her wood stove. Yeah. I thought that was pretty interesting. That's a skill I'd like to learn.
A lot of them, there's the Franklin stove that like Ben Franklin came up with. That's pretty awesome. Shapes kind of like your potbelly thing. I think it is the potbelly stove, but I can picture it in my mind. I don't know. Anyway, you also have the ones with the burners on top and for cooking, and they even sell ones with bread ovens. It's really how much money you're willing to commit. Now I have several options at my house. I have this like old falling down farmhouse right next to me that, you know, the roof's still good. So I'm hanging on to it, trying to fight the termites and keep it going. It doesn't even have like real plumbing or anything going on, but I probably would set up a wood stove there. I have chimneys and it actually has fireplaces and things I can do there. But one, making sure your chimney is clean enough that it's going to work and not, you know, kill everybody is probably a smart idea.
Yeah, but, don't burn the pine in there.
Right. You know? But yeah, the creosote on the lining. Anyway, so another thing, though, on the flip side, in my regular house, the plan I have is, and I still haven't done it because it's one of the many things. Again, I have a house with fireplaces and stuff that I can move the family over if we're all freezing to death in the winter, right? We can stay in one room over there and stay warm every night. But the plan is I need to buy a wood stove and I'm going to just throw it in my, I'm going to keep it in the farmhouse. But if I need to bring it into my house, I can just rig up with plywood and vent pipe and actually run the vent right out the window. Mm-hmm. So something I could move in and make my living room have a nice hot stove. Now, the cool thing is, I was thinking about this a lot, is I could take the vent pipe and if I ran like a 6 foot or eight foot horizontal pipe and then put it out the window, then what I could do is you'd have that whole 8 foot of extra heat coming into your house. And that's something to consider. That's why a wood stove always kind of wins out over a fireplace, is you usually have exposed pipe running through the house. Like some of it do it even through two floors, you know, and you'll have that pipe go up through and up to the second floor where it dissipates the heat. And that's something to look at. I also think we need to move into security. Now, I know this episode's going a little bit long, but you need to have some way to protect your family. Do you have, like, one, do you carry every day, right? Do you have a handgun on your hip? Does your wife have a handgun on her hip? You know, maybe you need to get her on board with carrying every day and being prepared. Because the thing is, you never know when bad things are going to happen. I would say, do you have like a shotgun or something that somebody who's not trained with a weapon can use a little bit easier? Now, obviously, you need some kind of training before you should be picking up a shotgun. But I mean, somebody who's gone out with you for an hour twice before can work a shotgun. Somebody who's trained with you for 3 weeks should be maybe grabbing an AR and something more tactical. There are other things, even just having pepper spray or, you know, something like that, mace, whatever, something that, you know, you can keep on hand. They have those bear spray ones. If you kept that handy, that's one more option. You know, obviously a firearm is serious. The other stuff, you know, people say, oh, that just pisses them off. Well, yeah, but you know, you have to go with what you're allowed to have in your area of living. Do you have things that can be a weapon? You know, people always, the baseball bat. Well, you know what? A bat's going to be a pretty effective weapon. I mean, honestly, if somebody's holding a gun, you have a shot when you have a bat, you know, and you're too close to each other, right? There are a bunch of things like that. Just keep in mind, you know, what's available and how you're going to protect. Obviously, we have episodes on securing your home and, you know, home security and really preparing it all around. That's something you need to dig into. We're not getting on that, but just keep in mind. One of the things, you know, that came to mind and somebody mentioned is that with a wood stove, you could wrap the pipe with, you know, do your hot water heating through that. I actually had a friend do that. And rigged up in his house. Now, what he did, he actually had a fireplace and he ended up making it look like a, we'll say like a radiator that he ran through and put in the top level of his fireplace and it would heat his water. And it went in addition with his hot water heater. So he was actually saving money all year long. Well, all winter long while he's running his fireplace. By adding that extra heat, I'm sure he worked out bypasses to not, you know, go through there and cool it down in the summer. But, you know, you can figure out that kind of thing. If you put a little effort, you can really come up with some awesome creative ideas. And I guess that's the point of this episode, is to get you thinking about where you might be coming short, where things fall apart in your home plan, and how ready you are. And if So often we dig into, you know, the deep things, like we'll do an episode just on home security or an episode just on food storage and whatever. But I think the little things, the little thoughts and the extra things get lost. And it's important that, you know, you kind of think of your overall preparedness as a bigger picture. You know, they always say, try shutting your power off for a day, see where it falls apart. You know, see where things start to come up short, and then you can, you know, go through and come up with a plan there. That's something you guys need to do. And hopefully that's what this episode did, is makes you think of where the weak links in your prepping might be. And hopefully, you know, it steps up your game. And I would say more and more these days, it seems like we need to have a little extra preparation. We need to be prepared for bad things, because bad things might be coming. Although I heard the economy completely turned around, the GDP's way up and we're killing it. So, you know, who knows? Maybe I misread the whole thing. Kevin, I see concern in your eye. Last thoughts?
I don't know if my eye roll was loud enough that everybody could hear it, but yeah. Yep. Sounds fantastic. Everything's going great. Love it. Perfect. That's all I got, man.
Questions, concerns, you guys want Prepping Badass gear? I've been saying preppingbadass.com. The website seems to work on my cell phone, but when I go there from a computer, it's kind of iffy. I just been so busy, I haven't had time to sort it out. Maybe I need to actually start paying for better hosting than I pay for, but we won't talk about that. Yeah. But anyway, I will put a link if you want to get sweatshirts, t-shirts, coffee mugs, whatever. I will put a link in the comments here and in the show notes on the podcast episode.
Yeah, I got the sweatshirt. I got a couple of sweatshirts. They're really good. They're pretty good quality.
Kevin looks pretty handsome. Mm-hmm. So yeah, you're asking about the hoodie. So we tried to dig into it. Kevin, you said you came up with a name. Do you have it?
Yeah, it's right. Independent Trading Company is the brand.
Okay. And you said, though, really soft and comfortable, because, yeah, it's not something we recognized.
Yeah, it's warm. It's comfortable. It's pretty damn good.
It definitely held up a lot better. Early on, the same company we were using for the T-shirts, the logos would kind of wear off. They were a little iffy. And I kind of warned you guys. I tried to, you know, be on top of that, but you know, hey, they seem like they're pretty great right now. I have a bunch of friends. It was funny. One of my buddies just put in an order and got a t-shirt. And he was like, you know what? That's one that I keep on a hanger in the closet. And it's one that I wear when I'm going out with the wife or whatever. and you know, he's like, it's all right. You know, that it's stepping up my game. So they are pretty great shirts. And honestly, they are soft and comfortable. They're a little thin, lightweight, the t-shirts, but that's why they're so soft and comfortable. But if you're looking for the thicker shirt or whatever, like I always do, you know, maybe it's not that, but I wear them all the time and I love them. So I don't know, just something to think about. Like I said, I will put it in the comments. Be a little patient with me. We are going to do an after show and do that. So if you guys stick around, we might have that for you. Questions, concerns, show topics, things you want to hear about, email us at preppingbadass@gmail.com. Otherwise, I would say stay safe and we will talk to you guys next week.